Hey everyone, and welcome to Unlocking Adventures with Lisa Kay, your parenting travel podcast where we talk about all things travel and vacation, specifically for you parents out there, specifically for those parents who are not having a good time vacationing, and our vacations are so precious and our time is so precious, so we should definitely be enjoying every minute of it, or at least as much as we can, because we do have children and you know, meltdowns. They happen, even on vacation, believe me, no matter how many how much preparing you can do, it's going to happen, just give in. But today I really wanted to focus on a question I've been getting a lot recently, or I've been getting actually for years, and that's, should I bring my baby to Disney World? So yes, we're going to talk all about Disney today. You know I love Disney World, I love me some Disney, cannot wait till I go back. But a lot of people question whether or not they should really bring their baby to Disney World. Is it worth it? It's a big expense to bring a baby, I think, you know, all these things. And I really want to talk a little bit about that because I did it. I brought my son before he was one. I brought him to Disney World. And let me tell you, there was struggles, but I loved it. I am 100% for bringing your baby. You know, of course you have to think about what's going to work well for you and is it going to still make you have a good time? I've had people tell me, you know, I'll wait until they're 5, 6, or 7. I guess that's a magic number people put on. But I will say that there are a number of perks and a number of reasons why I think it's a good value, and why it could be a really successful trip. And so today I'm going to talk a little bit about those perks, about those reasons why you might want to do it. And then also some tips that I learned from doing it, specifically bringing a child who is under the age of one. I've done other ages as well, but we're going to focus really in on that one, because it's tough. It's a really tough decision to make. You know, you've got to, depending on where you're coming from, you got to fly with a baby. You've got to do a lot of different things. You're still breastfeeding or formula feeding. You know, they can't eat everything. So it's just, you know, there's a lot more things you have to bring with you when you have a baby versus maybe if you had a 5-year-old or older or something like that. So we are going to focus on all of that. So let's start a little bit with some of the perks or why. Why is there a value to it? Why should I be doing that? So I'm going to say the number one perk for me, and I've heard it from other people too, but the number one perk for me is that they're free. That's right. If your child is under the age of 3, they're free in Disney World. And that's a huge cost savings, because then that means you don't have to pay for their park ticket. They get into the park for free, and you know, those tickets add up. If you go to a meal, they're free. You don't have to pay for them. They are technically, they get to eat off of your plate. But I brought my son and they give him his own plate, and then I give him some of my food. This is especially important if you go to some of those all you care to enjoy places or those character breakfasts, which can be really expensive compared to some of the other ones, and they're free. They still, you know, they'll still give them a beverage if they're drinking milk or water or whatever they're drinking. If they're at that point, they'll still give them all of that, and they'll still give them food. It's a really big cost savings because some of these character meals are very expensive. You can easily spend $100 a person. So when you don't have to pay for them, that's really great. And the other part of that is that when they turn 3 or 4, whatever that magical age you set aside to bring them, there's one price for the ages of 3 to 9, and that's the child price. And then there's the 10 and older, which is the adult price. So my daughter was 4 the last time we went, so we had to pay for her. And when I brought her to her meal, she's not eating the same amount a 10-year-old would eat in no shape or form. And I mean, she's also 4, so she's in that picky stage and is, you know, doesn't want to eat things that are green one day or whatever, because she's 4 and reasons. But so when she was free, oh, it was great. I didn't care. And I will say, when my children were under the age of 1 and they were in the eating phase, they were so much better at eating than they are now. They're just so annoying sometimes. Oh, I love my kids, but seriously. So having the fact that you don't have to pay for them, it made me feel a little bit better about the whole trip, because I was, okay, they're free. This is also really important if you have more than four people going. So let's say you're going, it's you and your partner and you have three kids, but one of them is a baby. A baby doesn't count in your room count. So like that's very important to note, because once you get to five people in a room, you're very limited when you stay on property. Not completely limited, but there are certain places that you can't stay. And so you're not open to all of them because there's a four person capacity limit. So just keep that in mind. So yes, free is the word. And this is also good. So if you're planning to fly, you have that option of them being a lap child, and then you don't pay for them on certain airlines, on most airlines, I think, actually. So that's another cost savings, because I know flights can get really expensive, especially depending on where you're going from. You know, I live close to some major airports, but I prefer to fly out of some of the smaller ones. There's less people, and, you know, but there's limited flights. There could be a little bit more expensive. So, you know, it's just, it opens it up a little bit more. So you can, you know, spend a little bit less if you choose to do that. I would say another perk with all of the cost-saving aspect of this is that if you're taking a child who's not in school yet, you don't have, and you're not a teacher, of course, you don't have to rely on the school calendar, because the way that Disney prices work is that they'll be more expensive during the most popular times of year. So that's going to be holiday breaks, spring break, the school vacations, summer, all of those things. Summer heat in Florida is a lot. So you are not bound to that calendar. You could go the second week of January and it won't be a problem for you. But you know, even if you have to be bound to the calendar, that's okay too. But if you have that possibility, I'm going to take my daughter one more time before she starts kindergarten so that I don't have to be bound for that calendar one last time and I can save some more money. So really, and there's a lot more deals that come out. Disney releases various deals that come out, and they are available usually for those slower times. I will say then the best, the other part of that by not going to the school calendar is that you can go in at a less busy time. So less time waiting online, you know, more, it just feels a little bit more freeing. And we've done that, and it was fantastic. We had a bunch of rides we were able to walk onto. So there's a lot of perks in that area to not having to rely on that calendar if you have that luxury. I will also say another big perk is that it's built for children. Disney is built for children. So, you know, if you're ever worried about, you know, is this your first trip you're going on with your child? You've never went anywhere before with them. Disney is built for them in more ways than not. Not just because they have the rides, but the cast members. So a cast member is what Disney World calls their employees. They're all cast members because it's a big show when you're there. You're always in the show of the magic. And they have been trained, highly trained, to not react when your child has a crazy meltdown or their diaper explodes, because that will happen. I hope it doesn't, but it probably will, at least for me. They are wonderful. My son, we went to a breakfast and my son knocked over an entire jug of juice all over the floor. This wonderful pog juice that is available at Ohana Breakfast, Ohana's Best Friend Breakfast, and he dropped it all over the floor. And I was apologizing, and I was so embarrassed, and the cast member was so wonderful. She goes, you're in Disney World. This happens all the time. Go enjoy your time with your family. You're on vacation. So I will say that was just such a weight off of me, you know, that was the ability. And I would also say that's a good thing when you're on the plane, especially when you're going to Orlando. When you're flying into Orlando, 10 to 1, almost everyone on that plane is also going to Disney World. So if you have a baby who's cranky, there's probably three other babies who are cranky on there, and toddlers and all of that. So when they start to cry, and, you know, there's people always get concerned or nervous that their child is annoying someone else on a plane, I would not stress as much when you're going to Disney World. It is a very good starter vacation for the fact that everyone's going to Disney World, and so there's crazy kids everywhere, and you don't have to be as, you know, crazy and concerned and worried. So that is definitely very, very important. Another perk, of course, is that when they're under one, typically, now not all, my son wasn't not walking at this point. He was crawling, but he was not walking when we took him. So it was kind of a another weight lifted off of me for the fact that I could put him in the stroller and not worry he was going to run away. You know, not that kids do, you know, kids get excited in Disney World. It is so exciting. Oh, Mickey's over there. Oh, I want to ride the carousel. Oh, I want to do this. So they, you know, want to go everywhere. And it's, you know, you got to be able to watch them and make sure that you have your eyes on them and all of those things. But when you can just put them in a stroller and they stay there, oh, it was so much easier. I will say, you know, of course, you know, he wanted to get out and crawl around and stuff. And that's a whole other thing. But it was so nice. and then of course, finally, you get to see Disney World differently when you bring a baby, because they don't necessarily always communicate the same way, correct? You know, so at that point, they may say a couple of words, they may not say any words. But, you know, my son saw Mickey, he met Mickey at Disney World, and his eyes lit up. Now, he doesn't remember his Disney World trip, I'm sure, but he sees the pictures and he points out on it and he's very excited to know that he's done this before. But I got to see him interact and be goofy with Goofy. We went to one of the breakfasts, went to Chef Mickey's, and Goofy came over for a photo. And this was pre-pandemic. This doesn't happen right at this point. It's November of 2021. So, you know, when you're listening to this, they may or may not have changed those rules, but they used to come right up to your table. And Goofy came up to say hello and give him a hug. My son moved his Mickey waffle away from Goofy. He did not trust him one bit. And it was just so funny. And even Goofy laughed. So it was just really fun to have that kind of story to tell, you know, that my son got to make sure that Goofy didn't steal his waffle, you know. So it's just, it's so moving, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Plus, he was free at that breakfast, so it was great. And he ate a lot of those waffles. He loved them. So that kind of brings me over to the tips. So, you know, those are just some of the perks that I found. There's probably a number more that I'm missing, but, you know, those really kind of stood out to me in our experiences there. One other perk that I forgot is that this is a big one, when we talked about how Disney World is built for children, every Disney World resort has pack and plays available. So if you are staying on property at Disney World, and your son or daughter or child or whoever my son at that time was sleeping in a crib still, they have a pack and play that he could sleep in. And I didn't have to worry about renting a crib. You can rent cribs. There's options for that, and outside vendors do that. But anyway, they have them and they fit. You have to, you know, you may have to put them in some weird places like near the bathroom or something, but it will fit. And that was kind of a load off. It's one less thing you have to worry about, is that they have them. Now, I know hotels have cribs usually, but we stayed at a hotel once and it was very inconvenient getting the crib. It took a long time. They, you know, there was a concern that they were out of cribs when we got there, even though we specifically requested one at a different place, a non-Disney hotel. So the fact that they have them and I've never had a problem, and I've never heard of anybody having a problem with them, then it's a really great opportunity. Okay, so let's go on to the tips now, because I talked about my perks. I'm sure I'll go back into those. But so tips. My first one is to get a really great stroller. I'm telling you, if there is a stroller that your child is great in, or you don't have a stroller, if you don't have a stroller that your child is really great in, that can take naps in, that folds back, that is comfortable, get one, and then test it out with your child in advance. You know, push them around a park, around the neighborhood, whatever it is, so they get used to being in the stroller for a long period of time. But you want to get a good stroller. I'm talking about the stroller that folds up really nice, because you're going to have to bring it on and off of buses and other types of transportation. I like to get lightweight ones so that they are one-pull lightweight jogging strollers. I do love me some jogging strollers. But get one that will recline. I would recommend not doing one of those smaller ones that don't recline or have any of those. So make sure you bring this really great stroller. And also make sure that you are testing the stroller not just for your child, but for yourself. Because you are going to be pushing that around a long time. Disney World is huge. So, and there are some, I know, so for example, my husband is about a foot taller than me. And there are some strollers that are too short for him and he has to hunch over and he's uncomfortable. And so if he had to do that all day at Disney, he would be miserable. So we had to find a stroller that was a good balance for the two of us so that, you know, we could take turns pushing the stroller because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to push the stroller. So really get a good stroller and get a good organizer on it. So get cup holders, get whatever you need so that you can get those mommy hook things, those carabiner hooks that you can put your bags on, all that stuff. Get really good strollers and also a really good diaper bag because you're going to bring a lot of stuff with you into the parks. You know, kids come with a lot of things. You can bring all of that in. There are no rules against bringing your formula or anything you need to breastfeed or pump. And if the baby food you need to bring in, you can bring all of that. You can bring real food in too, as long as it's not glass and you can't bring any loose ice. So, you know, if you need to keep anything cool, whatever you might have that needs to stay cold, you can bring ice packs. You can put ice in bags. It just can't be loose. And you can bring coolers, but they have to be soft. So none of those hard coolers. The other thing with the stroller is really make sure that it fits under the guidelines for Disney. So they have a certain length maximum and a width maximum. So that's really important if you have the double stroller. There are some strollers that are too wide and they will not allow them in Disney World. So all of this is about do your research. I will say I'll put more details and more specific information about what those are on our website. So just go to unlockingadventures.com/babies in Disney and you'll have all these tips for you. So that's unlockingadventures.com/babies in Disney. So, all right, next tip outside of your stroller and your diaper bag is I would really do your research on your parks. There are a number of rides that are any height. So that's there's no height requirement. So your child's going to have a lot of opportunities of where they, you know, where you can bring them on a ride. I will say more of those are in Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom is going to be your probably your top park that you're going to want to go to because it's really it's the biggest. That's where you're going to see a lot of the characters. And it has more rides built for babies than I would say some of the other ones. Not that the other ones don't have them. I just think that Magic Kingdom has more. So like when you go to Magic Kingdom, you can take them on Peter Pan's Flight or Astro Orbiter or Dumbo or any of those. So I would plan to do, if you can, more than one day at Magic Kingdom. But I will say there are also a number of shows that you can go to in any of these parks. My son didn't like them at all. He didn't like not moving. So we did not do a lot of those. We tried and he was just not a fan. He got very antsy in them. So those were not great for him. Maybe different for your child. So, you know, you just got to test that out. So some of the top attractions, and I'll put a full list again on our website of what you can and can't ride. But some of the top attractions that I recommend is Dumbo at Magic Kingdom, specifically because it's a great ride. Very often there's not a long line, but even if there is a line, the way that you wait is in a play area. So you get to, especially if you go in the Orlando Sun, you go inside, it's air conditioned, and there's this little play area. And the center of the play area, so there's like some places where you can climb for the bigger kids, but the center is all built for kids who are under three, or I think. So it's little climbing things. My son loved it. He just crawled around, had a great time. We got to get out of the heat and cool down. And then when we were ready, you have like a little pager system. And when you're ready, you get to just go on the ride. They'll page you. It's like kind of when you're on one of those restaurants that do all those. So that's a great ride to hit up. We went on that probably about 10 times. A, because there wasn't a big line, and B, it was just really a great opportunity for my son to get out of the stroller and just kind of crawl around, because I didn't have him crawling around on the main street of Disney World or Magic Kingdom, but there he could. It's a Small World is another ride. That is a great ride when your kid naps, because my son napped through that entire ride. He had a solid good nap on that ride, and you can hold them. So just held him close to our chest, and he slept the whole time on it, off it. He was fine. So it was a really good nap ride. I'm not sure if that means because maybe he was bored by it, but he had a great nap in it, and it was inside out of the sun, so it was really good. Another great ride is Journey into the Imagination with Figment in Epcot. There are a lot of colors, and Figment is really fun and interactive, and there's smells and different things that you can do. And so my son's eyes lit up the whole time. You know, he may not have really understood everything that was happening, but his eyes were like really lit up. And the ride's fun, so I had a good time on it too. And then the Seas with Nemo and Friends. That ride's, you know, that ride's not my favorite ride. It's fine. But when you get out of it, you're in this aquarium. So my son loved the ride. It was moving. He knows Nemo, or he knew Nemo then. He still does now. But then you're in this huge aquarium that's interactive and all of this. And so he had a great time being able to be a part of that. And then you can also ride Remy's Ratatouille, which is the brand new ride, and Frozen Ever After. Those are going to have, you know, Remy's Ratatouille has a virtual queue now. So you just have to, you know, there's a couple of other steps you have to do with that. And Frozen Ever After more than likely will have a line. Unless you have Genie Plus and you've gotten your Lightning Lane pass for it. So, you know, the other ones, the line's not really usually that long. I feel like I've walked on the Figment every time I've gone now, so that's always a good one. Hollywood Studios, there's less. My son really liked Toy Story Mania because it was colorful and you could move around. He didn't really understand the game, but he liked being on it, and he knew what he was for a point, so that was fun. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is great. It's also an any height ride. But the line is always really long. So, you know, just keep that in mind if, you know. And then Animal Kingdom, of course, has, you know, you can see the animals, the safari, you can bring them on, different things like that. But I would say I would focus your time on Magic Kingdom. Now, the other thing about that, though, another big tip, though, is like, let's say you really want to go to Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars is your favorite, or you want to ride Slinky Dog Dash and your child can't, or you want to go on Tower of Terror, or any of the number of rides that are not any height. So Disney has this great program called Rider Swap. And Rider Swap is that you and your, so, you know, it would be, so for example, it's me and my husband. We would go right up to the cast member in the front of the line and say, we want to do Rider Swap. So they will take down, they will scan your Magic Band or your ticket or whatever you have. And so the first parent gets to go on the ride, waits in the line the whole way and all that. When they come off, you get your partner, you go back to the cast member, you swap the baby, and then the other one gets to go, gets to skip the line and go on, and then they get to ride. So you each get a chance to ride. So this is really important for some of those big rides you want to do, but your child can't go with you. You know, Rise of the Resistance, you know, the Tower of Terror, I said, because it's one of my favorites, Rock and Roller Coaster, those kinds of things. So really, really take advantage of it because it's a great feature. My son napped during some of these, so it was also really good. Napping is big key. I said that in a previous episode that, you know, don't avoid those naps, man. They need those naps. And when they're under one, they definitely need those naps. So definitely keep those in mind. Another big tip I would say with this is that we talked about focusing in on Magic Kingdom. It is a really big advantage, I would say, to try and stay really close to Magic Kingdom. Now, staying close to Magic Kingdom is going to be more expensive, so, you know, always keep that in mind. But from almost all of the Magic Kingdom resorts, you can walk to Magic Kingdom. So that means you don't have to fold up your stroller as often. It is really hard. It's not really hard, but it's really inconvenient when you have a baby who's cranky or tired or already sleeping, and you have to take them out of the stroller and then fold up the stroller and walk onto a bus and carry that stroller. I mean, it's you know, I love Disney transportation. I love that it's free. And you have these free accesses to everything, but just really keep that in mind. going back, I think that would be what I would say to do if you can do it. And if you can't, that's fine. But, you know, it is really nice and convenient to not have to be able to just simply, okay, they fell asleep, let's just walk back to the hotel, versus trying to get on a bus or a boat or something like that. Now, you don't always have to fold the stroller up when you get on the boat. It's just dependent. But, you know, if you could be walking distance, it's so much better. The other thing is that Disney also has what's called baby care centers. And so when I said do your research, also find out where baby care centers are located. So these are really great places to go with your child. If you need to breastfeed, there's some private areas in there. If you need to heat up any food or milk or formula, or whatever you need to do, they have access to stuff there to help you. If you've forgotten anything, you know, you need something, you need baby food or you need formula or something or bottles or any of that, they have them there for purchase. what they have in there. I went there with my son just to get out of the heat. We sat down and we just like relaxed for a little bit to get away from the sensory overload that was happening. I also took advantage of washing the bottles so that they weren't sitting dirty in my bag and maybe smelly. So really take advantage of that. It is a really great perk to have. And so just figuring out where they are. You could change your child there too if you prefer. I mean, they have changing stations at all of the bathrooms, which I will say those changing stations are much better than some of the other parks I've been to. I have larger children. My son was almost 10 pounds when he was born. And so I know that some of those folding stations, as they come out of the wall, have weight limits by the time, you know, even before he was one, he exceeded. So it had been a challenge. And then I would say in Disney, they have pretty secure ones, which is really, really important when you have your child with you. And you want to make sure you're having the most convenient time when you're there. I would say another great thing, and this is a perk or a tip or whatever, is take advantage of the opportunities to see Disney in a different way. It is sometimes our custom, or sometimes not our custom, but our inclination to go, 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 you know, to when we do things. And so in Disney World, is, you know, there's a lot. There's planning, there's waiting in line, there's all these different things. What we did, we didn't use Fast Pass. Fast Passes are no longer there anymore. But what we ended up doing was that we refused to wait for any ride that was longer than 15 minutes because we knew my son wouldn't deal with that kind of wait. So here's the thing. You cannot bring the stroller in line anywhere. So you have to park your stroller somewhere else, and then you have to hold your child if they don't walk. So they're heavy. I mean, they get heavy, and I didn't want to do that for an hour because some of these waits are an hour or 2 hours, and I just didn't want to do that. So we really tried to make a rule of, you know, go to something that's 15 minutes or less. And so we ended up riding things that I don't remember riding for a very, very long time, or seeing things like we went and saw the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, which is a show, but it was actually a really good show that my son liked. It's interactive, it's funny, I forgot about it, and it was, I think it would be something that people would easily pass, because it's, you know, it's a show, and you're really close to Buzz Lightyear spin when you're there, so you think to just go right there, and that always has a line, but it was kind of nice to just sit down and do something different, or to just walk around. We just walked around Epcot and saw the different sights and really took it in. So it gives you that opportunity to slow down. And that is really important, I think, when you're on vacation and having that ability to just slow down and all that. You know, because I just didn't have the desire to be in line and really stress more and more. It was hard to do that. So it was just kind of nice to like sit back and not stress about everything. You know, like another perk I would say is when you go to the pool, they have Life Vest already. So I didn't have to worry about bringing all of his swim gear like that. I mean, obviously I'd bring him a bathing suit and swim diapers and things like that, but it's one less thing, you know? So it's just, it gave me that chance to have a vacation that I would say, you know, that was, not that we haven't had bad times when we've done other vacations when he was little. I mean, he's still little, but that little. And so it was nice to just kind of see what else was there, and just enjoy some time together. When so we had both my son and my daughter when we went. So my daughter was just about to turn 3, and my son was under 1. And they both fell asleep at the same time. That never happens when we were in Epcot. And so my husband and I, we couldn't go on any rides, like we said. I mean, we could have done rider swap, but we didn't feel like doing that. So we walked around. We just walked around Epcot, and we took in all the sights, and we looked at the water, and we got a beer and ate some food, and we had like 2 hours of them napping in the stroller and just having some time to ourselves, which we don't usually get, you know? Like, you get very rarely do you have time to think when you have kids. So having that, because they're no tired like Disney tired. So having that was really special. So I would say if you can do it, do it. Take advantage of the opportunity that you don't have to pay for them, that you are, you know, that Disney's built for them, and that this may be one of the few vacations where you can just sit back. You know, I mean, Disney's hard. People will tell you that Disney's hard, and I will say it can be exhausting, but you can do it in a different way. And I think that that's what that trip taught me, because we had to course correct. We had to think outside the box and not just run from one ride to the next and run, oh, we have to see this show, we have to see this parade. But we got to just kind of be like, okay, well, they don't want to do that. One day we literally woke up and we had kind of a stressful travel day. We'll talk about another show. And we woke up and we asked my daughter, who was under 3 at the time, we're like, what do you want to do today? And she's like, I'll go to the pool. And we went to the pool. We got rid of all of the other stuff we were going to do. We stopped planning so much. And we took a little bit of a break. And I think that was really important for us. So I would say yes. So there is a lot of opportunity there, and you can enjoy the magic of Disney, and you can act crazy and be, you know, goofy kid with your kids, and they love it, and they're gonna have a great time. So if you can do it, definitely bring your baby to Disney World. Just do it. There will be hard times. I'm telling you, they're gonna cry. You're gonna have to go back and take naps and breaks and all of that, because it's a lot for a baby. There's a lot of colors, a lot of sights, a lot of sounds, but if you can do it, do it. And I really, really hope you make some magical memories. And if you need any more tips or resources, of course, you can check us out on unlockingadventures.com. For specific tips on babies in Disney World, go to unlockingadventures.com/babies in Disney. And you'll see some more information from about what we talked about today and some other things, but definitely go make some magical memories and have a wonderful day. Thanks so much. Bye.